This audio file is created by Panopreneur. You can get it at www.panopreneur.com. Three Advent Sunday. First posted December 16, 2007. Isaiah 35:1-10. Zion restored. Psalm 146. The Lord's eternal reign. James 5:7-10. Christ's imminent return. Matthew 11:2-11. Ministry of John the Baptizer. Isaiah paraphrase. Isaiah, the prophet, declared God's promise of a Savior who would restore Zion, Jerusalem, God's people, the church, the heavenly city. The wilderness of this world will be transformed into lush paradise. God's people will rejoice with joy and singing. Barren wasteland will be transformed and become like Lebanon, Carmel, and Sharon, places of great beauty and fertility in Israel. God's glory will be manifested by this transformation. God's people are to be encouraged and strengthened, and not to fear God's coming. He is coming with vengeance and retribution, but will save his people. In that day the blind and deaf will be healed, the lame will become agile, and the mute will sing for joy. Springs of water will arise and streams of water will flow in the desert, where jackals were once the only inhabitants, and will transform it into marshland. There will be a highway in the transformed wilderness, called the Holy Way. No unrepentant sinners, or ravenous beasts will be allowed, but the redeemed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing. They will have everlasting joy and gladness, and there will be no more sorrow or suffering. Psalm paraphrase, let us praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my soul as long as I exist. We are warned not to put our trust in any human, even those who are great and powerful according to this world's values. Their authority and plans are brief and die with them. True happiness is experienced only by those whose trust and hope are in God, the Creator of heaven, earth, seas, and everything in them. He is eternally faithful, and He alone gives justice for the oppressed and food for the hungry. The Lord frees the spiritual prisoners from sin and death, opens the eyes of the spiritually blind, lifts up the oppressed, and loves those who do what is right according to God's word. The Lord protects the aliens, upholds widows and the fatherless, but God will destroy the wicked. One, the Lord will reign as Lord, for all eternity, over his people, who have accepted him. Praise the Lord. James paraphrase, Christians are urged to wait patiently for the coming of the Lord, Christ's return, on the day of judgment. The spiritual harvest is compared to an agricultural harvest. As the farmer must have patience while the seed sprouts and grows to maturity and produces fruit, so we must be patient for the fruit of the spiritual harvest. So we should set our minds and focus on the coming of the Lord, and not grumble and complain, because the righteous judge, Jesus, is at the very threshold. Let us recall and follow the example of the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord with steadfastness and faithfulness. The Bible record testifies to the steadfast faithfulness of Job, and the compassion and mercy of the Lord. Matthew paraphrase, John had been imprisoned by Herod Antipas, because one John preached against Herod for marrying Herodias, the wife of Herod's brother, Philip. Languishing in prison, John heard rumors of Jesus' teaching and miracles, and sent John's disciples to Jesus seeking confirmation that Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus told John's disciples to go back to John and tell him what they had seen and heard Jesus doing. The blind and lame are healed, lepers are cured, the hearing of the deaf is restored, the dead are raised to life again, and the poor receive good news. Gospel means good news. Jesus declared that those who are not offended by Jesus will be blessed. As John's disciples left, Jesus asked the crowd what they expected to find when they had gone out to John in the wilderness. Surely, they hadn't gone out merely to hear the sound of a reed shaken by the wind, and they certainly wouldn't expect to find someone in fine clothes, because such people live in luxury in fine houses. So why had they gone? To see a prophet? Of course, but John was more than a prophet. John was the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy of a messenger sent by God to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. John was the greatest of the Old Testament prophets because he proclaimed and witnessed the coming of the long-awaited Messiah, But Jesus said that the least member of the kingdom of heaven would be greater than John. Commentary: God has always intended to establish an eternal kingdom of his people who willingly choose to trust and obey him. God has designed creation with the possibility of sin, disobedience of God's word, so that we would be free to choose whether or not to trust and obey God's word, and the opportunity to learn by trial and error that God's word is faithful and true, that it is good, acceptable, possible and agreeable to do, and perfect, our very best interest. Compare Romans 12:2. Jesus has been designed into creation from the very beginning, John 1:1-5:14. He was not an afterthought by God to save his creation after it had gone wrong. God knew from the beginning that giving his people free choice would lead to sin, disobedience of God's word. The meaning and purpose for a life in this creation is to provide us an opportunity to seek, find, and come to personal fellowship with our Creator, Acts 17:26-27, and this is only possible through Jesus Christ. Jesus is God's only provision for the forgiveness of our sin, and salvation from our eternal condemnation and destruction by God's judgment in accordance with God's word, Acts 4:12, John 14:6. The prophecy of Isaiah promised th3 Advent Sunday that the God of Israel would come to them to save them and give them vindication and justice over the enemies of God's people. The miracles of healing for the blind, deaf, mute, and lame would accompany the coming of the Messiah and reveal the glory of God. The coming of the Messiah will restore the wilderness of this world, and within our hearts, to the fertile garden this creation was intended to be, and the life-giving and transforming water is the Holy Spirit, which only Jesus gives, John 1:31-34, only to his disciples who trust and obey. Jesus, John 14:15-17. Jesus' second coming is both public, on the day of judgment, and also personal and individual, in the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Jesus is the highway, John 14:4-6, the holy way, by which the Lord's redeemed, ransomed from Romans 1:1-7, disciple making an end death by Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross, come through the wilderness of this world and into eternal life in the Zion of God's heavenly kingdom. We are warned not to place our trust in anything or person in this world, except God. Everything else will pass away. Only God is eternal and those to whom he chooses to give eternal life. We have been given the opportunity to choose whether to trust and obey God's word or not, and we are free to make that choice, but it will bear personal, eternal consequences. The Lord is able and willing to free spiritual prisoners of sin and death. Only he can heal the spiritually blind and deaf. The Lord lifts up the oppressed. Those who choose to do what is right according to God's word will be rewarded with eternal life, but those who do what is wicked according to God's word will be eternally destroyed. The Lord reigns eternally over those who choose to allow him to reign over them now. Christians are disciples of Jesus Christ who have been born again, John 3:3-5-8, by the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit. The indwelling Holy Spirit is the spring of water welling up to eternal life, John 7:37-39, which the disciples who trust and obey Jesus have been promised, John 14:15-17. That spring of eternally life-giving water within us is to flow outward into the world and become a river which transforms the wilderness of this world into eternal paradise. We cannot be part of that life-giving river without having first received the promise of the wellspring. Saving faith is obedient trust in Jesus. Discipleship is a spiritual growth process to Christian maturity. We must be patient and cooperate with the Lord so that we can grow to Christian maturity, and then we must be patient and cooperate with the Lord to sow the seed of the gospel in others and irrigate and care for them until they also produce spiritual fruit. The biblical record of God's dealing with Israel, the Bible, has been written for our instruction, 1 Corinthians 10:6-12. We must know the Bible in order to claim and receive the promises it contains. One such promise is the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit to those who trust and obey Jesus. Another is the encouragement of our steadfastness and faithfulness when we consider the example of the prophets. Another is the ability of discernment. For those who know the signs God has given us in Scripture to tell truth from deception, John the Baptizer was the greatest of the Old Testament prophets because he announced and experienced the fulfillment of God's promised Messiah. Until the coming of Jesus, only a few individuals had personal knowledge of and fellowship with God. John is an example. But the least, born again, disciple of Jesus is greater than John because he has personal knowledge of and fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ, through the indwelling Holy Spirit, which only Jesus' coming made possible. God gave the signs that we would attend the coming of the Messiah through Isaiah and other prophets which are recorded in the Bible. People who believed God's word and saw the fulfillment of the signs of the Messiah were prepared to receive him and eternal salvation. Those who didn't know, or didn't believe, were unprepared and lost eternal salvation. The Bible gives the signs which allow the believer to tell the difference between the Holy Spirit and evil spirits, false Christs and false prophets, for example 1 John 4:1-3, Matthew 24 minutes and 24 seconds. The Holy Spirit is the sign, the seal and guarantee that one is in Christ and has eternal life, 2 Corinthians 1:22, Ephesians 1:14-14, Romans 8:9-11, 15-16. Now is the time to learn God's word so that we will not be caught unprepared in the day of the Lord's second coming. Is Jesus your Lord? Are you Jesus' disciple? Are you trusting and obeying Jesus? Have you received the indwelling Holy Spirit since you first truly believed, Acts 19:2? Are you making disciples of Jesus Christ and teaching them to obey all that Jesus commands, Matthew 28:18-20? Do you know with certainty where you will spend eternity, 1 John 5:11-13, Ephesians 1:13-14?